Merkle Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary is Tack Theratrix.
I am Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault?
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you're watching us on Rockfin, Odyssey, Band.video, Vigilante.tv, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks a lot. We appreciate your support. You can find us. We're a radio show, too. You can find us on Fringe FM on Mondays and Fridays. We go out there. And thank you to our sponsors. Boy, I'll tell you, I have to have sponsors to do this show. So the least I can do is find the right ones that work for this audience. I've got a great one. It's Legal Shield. They're relatively new. Tony Arterburn introduced me to the guys over there. It was a fit right from the beginning. They've been in business since 1972. They are available for people that live in the United States and Canada. And I'll tell you what it is. It's the collective buying power of all of us towards getting high-powered legal representation. So what they do is they put you in touch with a law firm in your area that has been designated as one of the providers for Legal Shield, and you work with them. If you need anything done, you reach out to them first. So if you've got contracts that need to be looked over, maybe your work is asking you to sign something you're a little unsure of, some new health policy, you send these documents over to your attorney there and they'll review it for you. You've got to have this. It's such a smart thing. I feel stupid I didn't have this sooner. I'm signed up fully on board with this. I've got the service. Look, this is how you use it. It's $30 a month. Essentially, okay, you're going to get access to an attorney that the average attorney that they use has 22 years of experience. So it's not somebody fresh out of law school. It's somebody that's really established. You're going to work with that law firm. And right off the bat, my suggestion to you is to take care of some documentation that you probably have been needing. You've been putting off. Do you have a will? You need to have a will. You're going to die someday. We all are. It sucks to think about that. But you know what's worse? Not planning for it. Okay. It's going to be bad enough that your family's left in a bad situation without you. They're going to be sad and they're going to have to deal with some sort of the legal ramifications of this, of you dying without a will. So do this. You, maybe your spouse, okay, sign up for this service. Talk to the attorney in your area, set an appointment, get in there and get all this stuff taken care of. I mean, those documents alone cost you $2,000. You know that. If you want to add on a power of attorney, medical power of attorney, a financial power of attorney, nobody wants to spend money on this stuff. I fully acknowledge it. I know I didn't, but you need it. We're adults, okay? There's just certain things you have to take care of. You got to take care of this stuff. You don't want to, but you need to. So what's worse? You want to pay $4,000 and have a bunch of these legal documents drawn up by some guy who may or may not be a good attorney, or why don't you just sign up for this program? We have a website called www.don'tgetpushedaround.com. Go there. Go there and look all this stuff up. But my suggestion is you might want to sign up for this, knock out all these legal documents that you have, immediately use it. There's a small business plan too. If you run a small business like I do and you want legal protection for that, they've got it. If you want ID Shield, they've got that. That helps with credit monitoring, reputation management, password manager. I mean, look, we're living in a world where we kind of need to think about these things. I'm always preaching being proactive. Last thing you want to do is get caught in a bad situation. Getting caught in a bad situation without a will, oof, it's not good. You know, so look, this is what, if you have traffic ticket, you know, you get a traffic ticket and you think, you know, just use your imagination. HOA is giving you a hard time with something. They're threatening you with letters telling you they're going to fine you for things like this. Or maybe you've taken your clothes to a dry cleaner who ruined them and told you, well, tough, too bad. You know, you should have read the ticket before you signed on to this. Well, look, a letter from your attorney straightens things out real quick. Okay. Use this power for good, not for evil. Okay. I'm not saying go out there and have your new attorney threaten people for you. But if you feel like you're getting pushed around, if you feel like people are trying to take advantage of you because they know you're not going to do anything about it, well, guess what? When they get a letter from your attorney, things change real quick, okay? So you've got this in your back pocket if you need it. So this is all I ask for you. Just please go to the website and read up about it. See if you think it's a fit for you. I think it is. I talked to Tony Arterburn. He's the one who put me in touch with these guys. He's been a customer of theirs for 20 years, okay? And he told me about it. And I was like, oh my God, I should have done this sooner. So go to the website, www.don'tgetpushedaround.com. You can read up all about it. The link for it is in the show notes as well. Just take a look. Legal Shield's been around. They have an A+ rating with the Better Business Bureau, you know. Been doing business for half a century. Okay. They're reputable. The law firms that they pick are fantastic. I think this is a good fit for the audience. I think you're going to be able to use your imagination and understand where you can take this. And just know that you've got an attorney looking out for you if you need it for like $1 a day, which is pretty good. Also to our other newer sponsor, Solar Power Lifestyle. They're a small business. They're in the solar industry, okay? I think everybody should have a little bit of a backup generator. You know, I'm not saying you don't have to get the full thing for your house, but should you be inclined and want to do that, they have that. It's available and they have financing too. But if you just want a couple $100 solar kit that you keep in your car in case in case you're out somewhere and your cell phone runs out of juice, or you've got it in your garage in case the power goes out and you need it for a little while, or you need it for the job site, or you're going on a road trip or whatever. I mean, there's a million reasons why you might need it. But if you're looking for one, just go to the place that's got all of them. Go to solarpowerlifestyle.com. You can use the promo code MACRO to save yourself a little bit of money. It's a small family-owned business, veteran-owned business. They like the show. We like that. They'll give you a discount when you use the promo code MACRO. So let's be proactive. You know, get yourself ready, sort it out on that because our commander in chief promised us a dark winter. Okay, or maybe that was last year. It's so hard to remember. You know, he's always threatening us and then telling us that he loves us. You know, like a good abuser does. Just gaslights you and then comes in and pretends to be your savior. Boy, I mean, it's like we've been living through that for the last 2.5 years with this. So with the COVID situation, and we've been working on this horse, we've been beating it half to death, but there's still some developments. And when it came out, we were talking about this term that they've thrown around now. Oh God, it's so insulting and so ridiculous, but the term is the speed of science. The speed of science, you say? Oh, really? Dr. Fauci is going to explain to me about the speed of science. The speed of science moves a lot faster when you lube up its asshole with a bunch of money. Yeah, I bet you it moves real quick when you do that. Yeah. Here, this is from Albert Bourla, Pfizer CEO. Certified piece of shit. There is no variant that escapes the protection of our vaccines. Oh, really? Really? Is Elon Musk going to kick you off Twitter for disinformation? Because that's disinformation. Is Joe Biden, is the Biden administration going to go show up at your door and drag you down to the police station in handcuffs and interrogate you? They do that in Australia and the UK now too. But something tells me that the Pfizer CEO isn't going to have that experience. Nobody's going to fact check him. Nobody's going to throw him off of Twitter for tweeting blatant lies, for putting out press releases that are filled with complete garbage, utter horseshit, provable lies. And there's no repercussions for that, because look, the speed of science depends upon the velocity of money. I think that's what it boils down to. And you know, since we're doing that, we're talking about this topic right now, I figure thoughts and prayers for Rochelle Walensky, CDC director, after, you know, taking 5 different vaccinations and still catching COVID again, and then announcing that she had it again, and then announcing that she took the Paxlovid, the pill that Pfizer makes, and that she's feeling much better, and then 3 days later tweeting out that she's got COVID again after just having it a couple days earlier. What are you injecting into yourself? Crystal meth? What is happening over there, Rochelle? I look forward to the Nuremberg trials, when you are given a fair and honest trial, and then once you are found guilty, being hanged out in the courtyard for what you've done. Oh, and I'd like to remind you, Rochelle, that in the SPARS pandemic document, they come for you. Oh yeah, you have that to look forward to. Not just getting COVID for the 6th time next Thursday, which you probably will, but you also have to look forward to us, because we've had it with you guys. Now, all of us in the alternative media have been screaming about this for 2 years. We've been called every name in the book: anti-science, science deniers, conspiracy theorists, grandma killers, you know, the fun stuff like that. It doesn't bother us. Not when you know what's actually going on. Not when you have the documents. Not when you read what's real and what's not real. I can live with that. I knew that the science was going to come around. I just didn't know it was going to happen this fast. I didn't realize that everyone was going to figure it out this fast. I thought it was going to take 10 years. But it's happening. It's happening. It's like that Ron Paul meme where he's like waving his hands and the lasers are going off and he's saying, it's happening. It's happening. That's what's happening. The speed of science. You know, it should have been operating at a much faster speed if they had just used the existing medicines. Remember hydroxychloroquine? Oh my God. If you brought that up at a dinner party, they would ask you to leave for being anti-science. You know, what about ivermectin? What about the, you know, ivermectin, the drug that cures river blindness, the antiparasitic that won the guys that developed it the Nobel Prize for science for discovering it and curing all these millions of people with it? Rolling Stone called it horse dewormer. Sure, there's a version that is used for horses, but they made it sound like Joe Rogan went out to the stables, and when that horse wasn't looking, he grabbed the horse's ivermectin and just started like sucking it all down, because he's anti-science and stupid, and he's a big muscle meathead guy, and how could he know anything about anything? He talks to conspiracy theorists like Eddie Bravo all the time. He's fucking anti-science, right? Remember that? Remember that, what the hit piece that Rolling Stone did on Joe Rogan, and then Jan Winter had the audacity of showing up on Joe Rogan's show, and Joe put him in his fucking place when he said that when Jan Winter said that the government needs to be in control of the media, and Rogan was like, why do you think that? That's crazy. That doesn't make any sense. That's stupid. That's idiotic. just destroyed him on there. Yeah, that's good. Fuck you, Rolling Stone magazine, for doing that to not just Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan doesn't need me to step up and defend him. It's what you did to the general public. You know, because this whole thing would have been over a lot sooner if it hadn't been for the FDA banning the use of hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, which are readily available everywhere else in the world. I've got tons of this stuff. Just buy it online. Bought it overseas. So, and bought it like 2 years ago. So this is fraud. I mean, like at its core, this is fraud. Because you have to understand, I think, in order to really get to the core of why the speed of science was manipulated by demonizing ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, when they worked, the question might be, well, why would they demonize these things if they actually worked? Well, there's two reasons. There's one main reason, which is that they don't want you to have any sort of options except for the vaccine. They want you to think that the vaccine is the only method for getting out of this, that there are no other options except for the vaccine. That's what they want you to believe. But it's more than that, because they actually need it to legally be the case. They can't, you see, in order to put in place the emergency use authorization, part of the criteria is that there can't be any other treatments out there. What you're saying is, we're going to authorize the usage of this particular new drug. We're going to push it through quickly. We're going to, you know, normally it would have all this strict criteria for testing and trials and, you know, all the things. But we're not going to do that because it's an emergency and we need to use it. So the government's going to authorize you to use it in an emergency, thus the emergency use authorization. But there is a catch. There can't be any other options out there that could treat this new catastrophe. It has to be that the only thing that will fix it is this new medicine that is being run through the emergency use authorization, i.e. the vaccines. So not only did they need you to not believe that ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine worked, which they do work, they need you to not believe that. But it's more than that. They need it to not legally even be an option. Okay, so it wasn't just about trying to make us look dumb, which they're always trying to do. It was beyond that. It was, we have to make it so that it isn't an option so that we can get this EAU or EUA. So in order to do that, we have to say that hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin do not work, even though we know that they do. So again, fraud and lying all over the place in this. So when they talk about the speed of science, and I say that the speed of science depends on the velocity of money, I'm not kidding. Because there's literally $100 billion at stake here for the pharmaceutical industry. But you know how much ivermectin costs? Per dose, 6 cents. Can't make a lot of money on that. You just cannot make a whole lot of money on ivermectin. You can make a shitload on the vaccines, especially when you have the full protection and indemnification of the United States government through the 1986 law that made it so that you can't sue the manufacturers of the vaccine for product liability issues. It has to go to the VAERS court, instead, Vaccine Adverse Effects Reporting System court, right? So they said, well, you can't sue the manufacturers, not because they were so great at their job that they they never got sued. No, think about why the pharmaceutical industry would approach the American government and say, you need to make a law so that the customers can't sue us for our vaccines anymore. Now, let me ask you, do you think that is because A, their vaccines are working fantastically well and there are no problems, or B, everybody's getting sick and a lot of people are dying and we're getting sued out of our ass for our products? Probably B, right? So that's why it came about. So when you put up a barrier so that nobody can sue you for your product malfunctioning, the liability component of your product, then how incentivized are you to make a high quality product? I mean, after all, nobody can do anything to you for it, right? Yeah, you maybe go to the VAERS court. And the VAERS court has paid $4.2 billion, you know, to settle these. But according to that 2009 Harvard Pilgrim study, they they showed that the Veris Court only really sees about 1% of the actual damage that's happening. So if you're talking about $4.2 billion being paid out by the Veris Court, that's only 1% of what's really going on in the real world. And, oh, and by the way, that $4.2 billion that was paid out, it's not even paid out by the pharmaceutical companies. You pay that as a customer when you buy, when you go to the doctor and get a vaccine for your kids, if you do that, which you shouldn't, but if you do, you pay for that. 75 cents from each shot goes into that pool. And then that pool is, you know, all the money's collected. And then that is what is used to pay back the parents that have kids damaged, like from all these massive, you know, shot-related illnesses. Not autism, of course, because if you claim autism, they'll deny your case automatically because they don't want to open up that can of worms, because if they did, they'd be on the hook for $1 trillion. So look, that's the relationship between Big Pharma and the government, right? So they have this emergency use authorization component that can be called upon when you need it in the case of an emergency. But you can't call on it when you've got other options. So that's why ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine were shit on so hard by all of these establishment outlets like Rolling Stone and the pharmaceutical or in the media. On top of that, let's just make this other point that, and I've said this before, but it's worth repeating, that the mainstream media, the news component of the mainstream media, gets 60% of their ad revenue from the pharmaceutical industry. So are they going to be in a big hurry to shit all over their largest customer? Probably not, right? So they're not going to, you know, they're going to do what they need to do to go along, to get along, because their money depends on it. And since nobody's actually watching their shows, I mean, they need the sponsorship money just to keep the lights on. So we saw the social media censorship of the treatments that was in conjunction with this. So you've got the pharmaceutical industry, the government, the media, and big tech all colluding. Now, we've been saying that they've been doing that for a while, but I'm going to get into this towards the end. It's now provable. Oopsie, they found out that the Department of Homeland Security was deeply in bed with Twitter and a bunch of people, but we'll get to that in a second. So, another component to the speed of science. Well, let's just talk about these PCR tests that came out. Dr. Kerry Mullis, a Nobel Prize winning scientist for his development of the PCR test, said that it is not a diagnostic tool for this. It's not to be used because you can just crank up the cycle speed and you'll get false positives. Even Fauci admitted that. He said that if you crank it up to 35, you'll get 97% dead false positives. All you'll get are dead nucleotides, is what he said, which is correct. So you've got a as they call it, a self-licking ice cream with this. You've got a vaccine that comes out and gets it gets protected in 86. All of them get protected. Then it gets the emergency use authorization designation, which gives it further protection. And at the same time, completely eliminates any sort of competition. By definition, you have to have this. It has to have no competition. So in this reality, there is no competition. Ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine literally don't exist in this, according to the EUA. Because they can't in this world. So you've got full protection. You've got protection against competition. Your competition has been eliminated. You now have the government putting its thumb on the scale, mandating these things, even though it's unconstitutional to do that. They didn't care. They were doing it anyway. And before everyone says, yeah, Joe Biden, he's awful. Trump did it too. Let's be fair. Let's be honest here. Both sides. Trump was the biggest vaccine salesman in the world. He's as guilty of all this shit as Biden. We've got the media running cover for you. We've got social media running cover for you. And then the component that nobody really talks about is the general public. Okay, so once you get the people whipped up into a frenzy, thinking that they're all going to die from a virus with a 99.98%. Survivability rate, then you tell them that the only way that they're going to get saved is by this magic potion, which hasn't even cleared all the testing. And then on top of that, you then whip the general public into a frenzy and say, anyone that doesn't take this potion, i.e. anti-vax people, they are opening you up and your family to the potential of death because they refuse to participate because they're anti-science. Okay. So again, we're talking about the speed of science. The speed of science depends on a couple things. You know, money is, it definitely lubes things up for you. But we have, there's a psychological component to this too, you know, and of course this was role played through the Tavistock Institute. Of course they knew how people would react. Hell, the SPARS pandemic document is a simulation in 2017 to see how they think the public will react with the pharmaceutical industry and the media working together in order to get the messaging out. In the end, things did not go well. And in the end, the public figured it out. Even in their scenario, the public figured it out. And that's kind of where we are right now. But these assholes have the audacity to come out here and say that, you know, we're, you know, mistakes were made. This very Rumsfeldian sort of line of talking about this in the past, as if it was in the past. You know, we're charting a course forward. We don't want to let mistakes were made. Yeah, by you. No, just in general, they were made. You know, we don't want to dwell on the past. You know, maybe we want amnesty. Maybe we want amnesty. I'll save that one for later. I'm sure you know how I feel about that. Oh, it's that Pulp Fiction meme, you know, with Marcellus down in the basement with the shotgun. Yeah, there will be no amnesty, I assure you. We've got the Imperial College. I want to talk also, since we're talking about the speed of this. How do you get it ramped up fast? Well, the Imperial College model forecast is one way you could do that. Remember that with the with the University of Washington's health metrics and and evaluation. This is, of course, funded by Bill Gates. Big shocker there. This is what caused the lockdowns. Remember Neil Ferguson, that piece of shit guy who came out and who's been wrong with all his models dating back to like anthrax, when he's like, how many people are going to die from anthrax? He's like, 50 million. And they're like, mad cow disease. How many are going to die from mad cow disease? He's like, a gajillion. I don't know. And everyone's like, oh my God, we have to slaughter all these cows. We have to, you know, quarantine all these people. And like, none of his figures ever come up because they're not supposed to. I mean, his job is to scare the shit out of people. The media's job is to amplify his batshit crazy statistics and then whip everybody up into a frenzy where they're all fearful. And then you get things like 2 weeks to flatten the curve. And how many of us were screaming, 2 weeks to flatten the curve? More like 2 years. 2 years to flatten humanity. And here we are now 2 years later and the world looks completely different. So we weren't wrong. Here's a quote from our Lord and Savior, Anthony Fauci. When people are vaccinated, they're not going to get infected. Again, I got thrown off of Twitter in 2020 for jokingly asking the question, when are we going to throw Bill Gates into a volcano? A reasonable question, I think. Pre-COVID. By the way, I was early. Anthony Fauci comes out and says, when people are vaccinated, they're not going to get infected. That's just a lie. It's not mistakes were made. Things were moving so quickly. We got caught up. No. That is a lie designed to be a lie. It's not a mistake. It's not, oh, I thought it was going to work and it didn't. You don't get to hide behind this stuff. You just don't. The speed of science. Let's see. Well, it was also fueled by the media, as we know. Paid influencers. Could you imagine, like, how much money would they need to pay you to be a COVID vaccine influencer? Do you just sign your soul over to Satan at the bottom of that contract? You would definitely want to send that contract over to your attorney at Legal Shield. I assure you, before you sign that. It says here, like, I'm supposed to sign here, and then it says Satan is supposed to sign this other side. Is this, should I sign this? They'd be like, no, you don't need to sign that contract. Paid celebrities through the Health and Human Services and the CDC, because that's normal. Because again, what do you do when you're in the middle of a pandemic? Well, we hire influencers to let everybody know that it's a pandemic. Really? Well, I mean, these nurses aren't going to dance on their own. Paid screenwriters and comedians to mock the unvaccinated. This is why I say there will be no amnesty for you cocksuckers out there. No, no, no. No, I remember all of this. We took notes. I wrote two books during this turn, you know, while this thing was, everyone was sort of down with COVID. I was in it. I was writing. I was making notes. I was doing screenshots. I got a whole electronic file filled with research stuff on this, okay? You paid screenwriters and comedians to mock the unvaccinated. You had, I mean, embarrassing stuff going. Stephen Colbert's The Vax Scene, you know, with all the dancers and that stuff. And Jimmy Kimmel, who probably drinks baby blood, out there making everybody, you know, making jokes at the, okay. Well, we see you were, we knew you were whores to begin with. I mean, that's nothing new to us. We know that Stephen Colbert and Jimmy Kimmel and these guys are complete whores. We just didn't know that you were dirty, cheap whores too. I guess we probably should have assumed it. How about all the people that were taking shots in front of the camera? How about them? All the people that roll. How about Joe fucking Biden in the fake White House with the fake president taking a fake shot in his fake arm? Maybe it's a real arm, but I don't know. How about that? Are we supposed to just pretend that that wasn't happening? Banging pots and pans out on your balcony at 8 o'clock for NHS, you guys in the UK, you remember that? How does the science move so quickly? Well, it needs help. It needs help from the media. It needs help from Stephen Colbert. It needs help from Anthony Fauci when he comes out and blatantly lies to you. That's how it moved so fast, because it wasn't going to move fast based on what you saw, i.e. the Bill Hicks stick your head out the window and it's crickets. The only way it was going to move fast is if you saw people in China just falling over face first and dropping dead, and them getting welded into their apartment buildings in Wuhan and shit like that. That's when you go, oh my God, this might actually be a thing, right? But if you didn't have any of that, and you didn't have the late night TV shows coming on, and you didn't have the president going on telling everybody that if they don't get vaccinated, they're going to die. If you didn't have that, then the science would move a lot slower. We've got, again, and I think I might have mentioned all of these at some point, but this is sort of just consolidate these talking points into one episode here. And let's talk about the changing of definitions and terms, huh? That certainly helps the speed of science, wouldn't you say? When you can change what a vaccine is, when you can change the definition of herd immunity, you can change what a pandemic means, like literally, legally what it means, change what gain of function is. Funny, you had all this time to change the definition of gain of function. You had like the last, I don't know, 75 years to do it. Why'd you do it in the middle of a pandemic? When we were talking about this looks like gain of function work on this virus that has now gone worldwide. Funny though, that they came out and they changed the definition of gain of function. Must have just been one of those days, right? Where they're just were really concerned about the way the words look in the dictionary. So they changed vaccine, herd immunity, pandemic, gain of function. That's normal, right? Those are the priorities you may. I'm sure during World War II, the priority was like, I was going to go shoot back at these Germans, but instead, let me write down all these new terms I want to change. I want to change the definition of shooting at Germans. I want to change the definition of you know, war crimes. I want to change the definition. That stuff can wait until the war's over, when there's plenty of time to get to the bottom and change all this stuff. The fact that these people were changing it in the middle of a pandemic is really suspicious. Of course, we've talked about this before, but but it's, you know, it's worth bringing up again that they were more concerned with the changing of definitions than they were about bringing in something that would actually save lives, because they didn't want to give you ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. You know what they wanted to give you? A ventilator. Do you know why they wanted to give you a ventilator? Well, because the government told the hospitals, if somebody dies when they're on a ventilator, we'll give you more money. Again, there will be no coming to terms with these people. No. There will be no mercy. There's no mercy for you. You've done this to yourself. You have dug your own grave, proverbial grave. And if the wrong kind of people decide that they want to make it their business, maybe even a physical grave, people are going to be unhinged, you know? What about when the media just refused to acknowledge that influenza exists and that pneumonia exists, and instead assigned all of those deaths to COVID, and then pretended like they fucking solved influenza, like influenza took the year off? Remember the Fox News graphic? 2019, deaths from influenza, 38 million. 2020, deaths from influenza, 1,822. What a miracle. I mean, how come the person that eradicated influenza isn't getting the Nobel Prize for medicine? That seems amazing to me. They went from 38 million to practically nothing. It's almost as if they just took all of those influenza deaths or cases. There, it wasn't even deaths, of course. It was just cases. All those influenza cases and just assigned them to COVID, you know? You know, like they're doing now with the PIC, pneumonia, influenza, COVID. It's all crammed together now in one chart. They broke it off and they assigned all the cases to COVID in 2020 and 2021. Do you know why? To make it look like it was a big deal. But you know what they did in the process? Completely neutered influenza. Isn't it amazing? It's like it must have been the masks. I bet it was the mask. That's what it was. I knew it was something. It was the masks that made influenza go away. But in those masks were soaked in COVID, so they made COVID come on. What about this? What about any attack on me, quite frankly, as an attack on science with Anthony Fauci? The arrogance of that little elf to say that. Any attack on you is warranted and justified, you piece of shit. You have been despised in this country for four decades. The gay community has a big problem with you. Rightly so. Let's talk about AZT, right? Oh, you don't want to talk about that, do you? What about this? Let me ask you a question. We're talking about science here, right? We're talking about the good science. If you're the pharmaceutical industry and you're doing fantastic, outstanding, amazing work, and you're making these vaccines at record speed, and you're coming in to save the world, and everybody should bow down to you and look at what heroes you are, then why did you ask that why did the FDA ask that the results not be shown for 55 years? Like, why? That's like that's like the difference between when John F. Kennedy was shot and like a couple years ago. I mean, like, to put it in perspective. But then, by the way, then they went and asked for 20 more years on top of that. So they really wanted a grand total of 75 years. They didn't want you to find out the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, that was working so hard to, you know, protect you and rush this vaccine along with the CDC, rush this vaccine to market, just bulldozed any of the hurdles that might get in the way, you know, like checks and balances and actual testing on real people. Not just eight mice, you know, but actual tests. They steamrolled all that stuff to rush to market an experimental gene therapy. And then they told you that they didn't want you to see anything that they had and the documentation of it for the next three quarters of a century. Why? Is that because they're so proud of their work? Or is it because they think that if you were to read it, they would rightly go to jail? you're clearly not proud of what you've done. I mean, this is, speaking of JFK, the CIA has done the same thing where they're like, no, we cannot, Mr. President, you cannot open these documents for 50 years. And then they asked for another 20 years. And then they asked, again, if you had nothing to do with it, bro, if you have nothing to hide, then you have nothing to worry about. Isn't that what you guys tell us all the time? You guys in the government tell us, you know, well, you don't need encryption. I mean, if you have nothing to hide, then you have nothing to worry about, right? Well, what about the CIA with JFK? If you guys weren't involved in that, then you have nothing to worry about. Open up the documents. Oh, no, we need it covered for another 20 years. Really? It's funny. It sounds just, you guys are sounding like the FDA. The FDA didn't kill Kennedy. The FDA killed your kids with this vaccine, and they know it. That's why they don't want you digging in and talking about it. From our dear leader, Joe Biden, who may or may not have shat his pants this afternoon. Quote, you're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations. I mean, that is such a provable lie that it's embarrassing. It's like these guys don't realize that their words hang around forever. And it's not like you went to a bar with your friend and you said some crazy shit last night and nobody was recording it. No, Joe Biden makes these comments, and Anthony Fauci and Albert Bourla and they make these statements in front of cameras that are recording their words and what they are saying, you know? And then they act like they didn't say it. Almost, there's another one from Joe Biden. This is just a couple days ago, October 25th, 2022. This is from Joe Biden. Almost everyone who will die from COVID this year will not be up to date on their shots. Not true. Fact checked. Fact checked you. Not true. Well, look, the speed of science moves faster after you do a simulation a few months beforehand. You know that, right? Like Event 201. Who is on board for Event 201? Who is helping the speed of science move at record pace? Well, that would be Johns Hopkins, Gates Foundation, the Chinese CDC, the American CDC, the CIA, the mainstream media, the United Nations, Gavi, the World Health Organization, Edelman Public Relations, the airline industry, UPS Shipping Department, the World Economic Forum, Big Pharma, and the banks. Was Satan unavailable to make an appearance at Event 201? Because all the devils were there. And they gave out plushy toys that looked like coronavirus to all the attendees. Did you know that? Event 201 happened in October 22nd through the 24th, I think, 2019 in New York City. You know, 6 months before COVID launched. Just a coincidence. From Rochelle Walensky, the five-time jabbed world champion vaccine injector. Quote, vaccinated people do not carry the virus and don't get sick.
Well, then why are you sick right now, Rochelle? Explain that to us like we're dumb or something.
Weber Shandwick, public relations firm that already works with Pfizer and Moderna, was paid $55.2 million by the CDC to promote vaccines, to generate story ideas, distribute articles to the news media. In this group, which started September 28th, 2020, so right when, you know, 6 months or so after COVID broke out, the CDC hired the same PR firm that works with Pfizer and Moderna. I'm sure there's no conflict of interest there or anything like that. And what they got for their $55.2 million? Well, the CDC wound up with 10 people embedded from the PR firm into the CDC. 7 of them were health communication specialists, 2 of them were health research specialists, and 1 of them was a social media specialist. And they came up with vaccine recommendations, you know? Funny. The PR firm was recommending to the PR firm whose clients are Pfizer and Moderna just so happened to recommend to the CDC that they start the vaccination program using Pfizer and Moderna. This circle jerk of like everybody in bed with one another, like they're all working for the same goals. They're all on the same team and everything. This is why the messaging was so jacked up, was because the PR firms that were involved in this, they weren't giving honest advice to the CDC. They're double dipping. They're like double agents here because they represent the pharmaceutical companies that the CDC is supposed to be overseeing. Yet the CDC hires the exact same PR firm to do their PR. Why? Why did you need it? The American mainstream media was doing a good enough job, right? Well, I guess they, again, when you're in the middle of the most deadly pandemic in the history of the world, oh my God, guys, for sure, like this is really going to, everybody's going to die. You definitely need to spend $55.2 million on a public relations firm to get the message out there about what? There's death everywhere, right? Where the bodies are stacking up in front of my house. I can barely get out of my house with all these dead bodies from everybody dying from COVID. Why do I need, I know why you need to spend this money, because it wasn't that. You wanted it to be that. You desperately needed it to be that, but it wasn't that. That's why you needed a PR firm. That's why you need the mainstream media to run interference for you and tell everyone, oh my God, guys, everybody's going to die. No. 99.98% survivability rate. This is like, again, I will ask the question. If you took a spelling test and you got 99.98% on it, would you ask for extra credit? Extra credit being the vaccine? No, you would not. Because the maximum that extra credit could give you, if it did everything that it was supposed to do, the very maximum it could give you is 0.02%. Because your natural immunity gives you 99.98%. So the only thing that's missing is 0.02%. Oh, but by the way, actually, if you get the vaccine, you actually reduce your level of protection because you were fine at 99.98%. You were totally good there. But now since you took the shot, who knows? I don't know. You're less than 99.98% protected. I'll tell you that much, as evidenced by Rochelle Walensky catching COVID multiple times after being injected, like she's in a fucking, like she's in Motley Crue in 1983. Someone's going to need to kickstart her heart pretty soon here. Rachel Maddow, Rhodes Scholar and propagandist, quote, "Now we know the vaccines work well enough that the virus stops with every vaccinated person. The virus does not infect them." Why is Rachel Maddow still on the air? Why is Rachel Maddow still allowed to be on social media? Why haven't all of her advertisers pulled themselves from her show? Why? She's lying and stating dangerous propaganda that isn't true. This stuff isn't true. We know the vaccines work well enough that the virus stops with every vaccinated person. No, you don't know that. You made that up. The virus does not infect them. Yes, it does. You fucking liar. Now we're getting into the personal stories. Okay. Now we're getting into the ones that are like, you got to be careful when talking about these because it's bad form to dunk on dead people. Okay. But there's a few of them out there that were very vocal that they wanted you to die. And they were very vocal about how they were going to get all of the shots, like collecting them, like they're fucking Pokemon cards or something. They were going to get all the shots. And that you, as an anti-vaxxer, were dangerous and stupid and didn't believe in science. And I hope you die and you shouldn't get medical treatment and you shouldn't be allowed on a bus. You shouldn't be allowed on a plane and you shouldn't be allowed to have a job and you shouldn't be allowed in the grocery store. And they said all this shit to us. Okay. So I'm trying really hard to not be a dickhead about this and dunk on these people. But I'm going to read their words and then you just decide. This is bodybuilder Doug Brignall. Quote, "I have enough confidence in the vaccine, based on my research, to get it done. Those of you who think the vaccine kills people can use me as a test. If I die, you were right. If I don't die and have no ill effects, you were wrong and should admit it, at least to yourselves. Better yet, you should admit you were misled and tell the world who misled you so other people can benefit by avoiding the fearmongers. Doug took the Moderna last year. Doug just died last month. Quote, if I die, you were right. We were right. Again, look, I don't want to be right at the expense of people being dead. Okay? I don't want that. And it's taking every ounce of self-restraint for me to not go to that shitty place. But again, this guy came out and said, based on my research, what, that you watched Rachel Maddow? Because I did actual research. You know who I talked to? I talked to Dr. Peter McCullough. I talked to Dr. Robert Malone. I talked to Dr. Carrie Madej. Talked to Dr. Judy Mikovits. I talked to all those people. And you know what they said? The vaccine is really dangerous. And in Dr. Robert Malone's case, he said, well, I invented the mRNA technology. And it's great in that when you, it works the way it was designed to work, but the problem is when you turn it on, you can't turn it off. To which my follow-up question was, who would ask you to build something that defective? And his answer was the United States military. So I did actual research. Bodybuilder Doug Brignall did not do actual research. Based on my research, which involved clearly watching MSNBC, he wants us to admit, you know, if he doesn't die that and have no ill effects, we should admit that we were wrong. You're dead, Doug. You said it. If I die, you were right. We were right. I'd rather you be alive. I'd rather you be alive so that I could tell you to your face that we were right. I don't wish death on these people. I want them to wake up. But I don't think that's going to happen. Because you see, you're 133 times more likely to get myocarditis if you're vaccinated. It's not 133% more. It's 133 times more. That's a lot. Quote, everyone who takes the vaccine is reducing their transmission. Bill Gates. Tell you what, nobody that has refused the shot regrets it. That says more to me than anything, really. Because, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are having second thoughts about this. I wish I had something I could say to them. Like, oh, we'll take this and this and that and you know, we'll minimize it for you. You're done. If you took the two shots and the boosters, it's going to be rough. But look, again, we were screamed at by these people online and person, wherever. They were raging on us about this. They called us every name in the book. And we're supposed to show restraint when they drop dead, you know? And I'm trying real hard because I don't want to be right about this. I you know, because to be right is that this is going the wrong direction. But I'm trusting the science, the real science, the science that holds up to scrutiny, the science that invites you to challenge it because it stands on its own. It doesn't need the defense of Fauci's and the media and the CDC and all these people protecting the science. If the science is so strong, put it out into the world, let it stand on its own, and all challengers will fail. But that's not the case, because the science was never strong, because it was fake science, and they knew it. That's why they defended it. That's why they were so quick to silence people on social media and on the video sharing platforms and things like that. That's why they had to. You have to, if you're going to defend that lie, you can't let anybody near it. Richard Roe, Democratic candidate in Florida's District 23, quote, let me be real clear. I do not give a fuck what happens to anti-vaxxers. I don't. Let Darwin do his work. They help to kill 700,000 Americans. I do not have the pity or tears to spare for any of them. It's all dried up now. Sorry. At this point, I'm just hoping they feel 1/10 of the pain they've caused everyone else. The kids will be fine. They're going to suffer. And I fucking well think they've earned it. That's Richard Roe, a Democratic candidate in Florida. That's what he thinks about anti-vaxxers. Oh, but he goes on. Post number two from this dipshit. Quote, already had COVID last year, so not worried about catching it, but I want to maintain my smug sense of moral and intellectual superiority while making fun of Darwin'd anti-vaxxers. It's actually pretty noble, really. Tweet number three, quote, I do not care what happens to you. Richard Roe died suddenly at age 41 while walking his dog last week. I don't give a fuck what happens to you either, Richard. Looks like you were wrong. Good thing it only cost you your life. For something with a 99.98% survivability, you're bad at math. Or should I say, you were bad at math. You're dead now. I hope somebody takes care of his dog. But look, again, to be fair to these people, these hysterical lunatics that are vaccine junkies, they were scared shitless early on. They were told some really bad information by the media and by institutions, World Health Organization, CDC, FDA. These groups had no problem lying and telling people that everybody was going to die. In fact, in March of 2020, the World Health Organization said that 3.4% of the people that got COVID had died. That's what they said. 3.4% of the people that have got COVID died. So let's just say that of the 340 million people in America, 200 million of them have gotten COVID over the last 2.5 years. I think that number is low. You know, I think everyone kind of gets the flu and they get over it and everything. But let's just say that 200 million is the number. So according to the World Health Organization, if it killed at a rate of 3.4% of the people that got COVID, you would be talking about damn near 7 million dead Americans. I mean, so of course people would be freaked out if they heard that. That was Tedros, the terrorist that said that. But of course he was lying. Because that's what he does. Are you familiar with what Tedros's background is in Ethiopia? Oh, you should look him up. He's quite literally a terrorist. He's involved in the terrorist groups. But that's how you know you can trust the guy if you're Bill Gates and these people. That's how you know you can put your eggs in the Tedros basket, is because he's proven himself to be a scumbag of the highest order. So back in his work in Ethiopia. So he's on Team Scumbag, you know that. So he's your guy for this. And then, of course, there was the story in August of 2020 of 169,000 Americans dying from COVID. Okay. And I think that was something that really got a lot of notice. It got put through the Reuters and the Associated Press, otherwise known as American Pravda, and sent out and distributed worldwide to their 3,500 plus media outlets that then reprint it as if it's one of theirs. You take it like a AP story like that, and it just becomes part of your newspaper or your magazine, and it's just credited instead of to Bob Smith, the writer at your local newspaper. It just says from Associated Press. So the story goes into the local papers as well as the national papers, and it talked about 169,000 dead Americans from COVID. But if you read all the way through to the bottom of the article, which I would assume 90% of the people didn't read, and the other 10% barely even, maybe didn't even figure this out. But when you get to the bottom of it, it says 6% of this total number, this 169,000, 6% died from COVID. The remaining amount died with, on average, 2.6 comorbidity conditions. And those comorbidity conditions included things like heart attacks and cancers and car accidents and skydiving and spontaneously combusting and all these things, you know, like whatever else. And you had the flu at some point within the last 30 days, you were counted as a COVID death. And then when you incentivized the hospitals and said, well, we'll pay you for every COVID death you have, then now the hospitals have an incentive to say, you know, that guy that just died from lung cancer? Well, why don't we just call him COVID death with lung cancer as like a comorbidity? We'll put that on page two, but we'll collect the money on him. And then what do you know? These numbers started spiking. And speaking of the you know, I throw the 99.98% survivability rate number out there quite a bit. I'll just break this down for you. That's the average. Okay, to be fair, that's the average. But so let's do it by age range. Age 60 to 69. So everyone in their 60s, the survival rate for you for COVID is 99.499%. Let's round up and say 99.5. It's off by 1/1000th, right? For people in their 50s, 99.871% survivability. Everyone in their 40s, 99.965 survivability rate. In your 30s, 99.989%. You know how you're, when someone goes, I'm 99.99% certain. That's what they mean is they're so certain it's the same as you dying from COVID in your 30s. 99.989%, yeah. In your 20s, your survivability rate. Now, keep in mind, there's a lot of this broken younger generation that are wearing masks and freaking out and standing on the dot. You got to stand on the dot. It's 6 feet away from the other dot. Are you trying to kill us? Stand on the fucking dot, for God's sake. You know, and they're all like complying and they're all freaked out. That if you're in your 20s, your survivability rate for COVID is 99.997%. Okay. And if you're a kid, anywhere from age 0 to 19, all the way through, if you're a school age kid, right, all the way through up to like, say, your 20th birthday, your survivability rate from COVID is 99.9997%. You're not going to die from it. You have a better chance of getting struck by lightning than dying from COVID. But they want to inject boosters into these kids. That's why I say there will be no quarter for these people. CDC just approved boosters for children. No proof that they work, all about the money. And you may say, well, the CDC doesn't make any money from the... Oh, yes, they do. You see, the CDC owns over 50 patents on a variety of vaccines. Every time you get one, they get a piece. They get royalties from this. CDC makes over $5 billion a year from the royalties that they own on the patents that are the patents on the injections that are put into you and your kids. And they set the schedule. So think about that conflict of interest. And yet, with a 99.9997% survivability rate, they ordered and demanded that all of the kids wear masks at school. And lockdowns. Because it's not about science. It's about compliance. It's about doing what they tell you to do because they tell you to do it. And don't you dare question us. We've got, but you say, well, I have to question you. I mean, I don't even know what's in the vaccine. And they say, well, you can open up the insert for your vaccine, and you can take a look at that. Do you know what happens when you open up the paper insert that comes with the vaccine that you don't ever get, but you have to ask for it? Do you know what happens if you unfold it like this origami type thing that just keeps unfolding and unfolding? If you unfold it and it's the size of like a table and you look at it, it's blank. There's nothing written on it. Do you know why that is? Emergency use authorization. They don't have to put anything in there. Trust the science. Well, can I see what's in it? No. Well, then how do you expect me to trust it? I said, trust it. I said, trust the science, or we will cancel you from going to work, getting on an airplane, taking your kid to school, taking your kid to the museum. You want to go to a skate park? Don't even bother. We just had bulldozers fill them in with sand. But the wheels are falling off. They're falling off. New York Supreme Court orders NYC to rehire, pay back wages to unvaccinated city employees that were fired. The structure is falling apart. They cannot maintain the lie anymore. They just can't. Let's wrap up with this. The Department of Homeland Security has been busted working with Twitter and Facebook to silence information critical of the vaccines, lockdowns, virus origins, and the like. There is a Ministry of Truth inside of Twitter, and it got exposed after the Elon Musk transaction closed. And they found the documentation showing that Vijaya Gadde, the head of legal, the free speech squasher over at Twitter, the chick that went on with Jack Dorsey, went on Rogan to talk to Tim Pool and Joe Rogan. She was in charge of this, having weekly meetings with the Department of Homeland Security, upset that other tech companies weren't doing the same thing besides Twitter and Facebook. She thought everyone should be doing it. So you say you're not silencing free speech, yet you have the Department of Homeland Security in your office once a week telling you what you can and can't allow on your platform. They set up a portal so that the DHS could just go right in there and say, these people, these stories, it was automated for them. This isn't what you do when you're the good guys. You realize that, right? Silencing speech, manipulating speech, kicking people off of your platforms. You don't do this when you're in an actual pandemic. And you don't do this when you're on the right side of humanity. Anybody that is out there trying to burn books, silence you, get you thrown off of media platforms. Look, those people, throughout history, they're always the bad guys. They're not trying to get rid of disinformation. They're trying to get rid of the information that people might come across that would show that the people in positions of power are lying about this entire thing. That's what they're worried about. They're not worried about misinformation and maybe somebody is going to get talked out of, you know, not getting the vaccine because they watched a Joe Rogan clip or they read one of my tweets or something like that. They don't worry about that. They don't care about that. They're worried about being exposed. They're worried that the New York Supreme Court is going to order them to rehire and offer back and pay back wages to unvaccinated city employees once it runs through the legal system and the judges go, this is unconstitutional. You don't get to do this. You can't do this. Are you crazy? You fired all these people? Didn't pay them for the, you can't do that. You have to rehire all these people. You have to give them, not only do you have to start paying them, you have to pay them all the money that you should have been paying them all along. Controlling information by the state is what dictators and fascists do. You know how all the hardcore left is out there, they're out, everybody's a fascist, you're a fascist, you're a Nazi. No, this is what actual fascists do. And it's your side. I hate to break it to you, loony left, but it's the people on your side of the political aisle that are doing this. While you scream that everybody on the Republican side are the fascists and the Nazis and all that stuff. I got my problems with the Republican side, believe me. They're not out there censoring speech, though. No, their policy is, we want everyone to have a voice. We want the loony left to have a voice. They don't want to silence the loony left. Why would you? Strategically ridiculous to do that. It'd be a mistake. No. If you're the right, you want free speech for everybody because you know that the things that you're talking about are anchored in reality and logic. It doesn't mean that you're right every time, but you're at least coming from the right place. You're coming from a place of actual science. You're coming from a place where 2 + 2 = 4 instead of 5. You know, you want the right things. The loony left, you wouldn't want to silence them. You'd want them to keep talking. That's like, keep talking and keep incriminating yourself. Keep making sure that everybody knows that you're an unhinged lunatic. The left wants to silence the right because the right keeps poking holes in their flawed ideology and they don't appreciate that and they can't maintain it much longer. The right doesn't feel that way about the left. The right doesn't want Elon Musk to go and throw all the leftists off the platform. First of all, it's inconsistent with their ideology. They're about free speech. Even speech they don't like, they say, well, if I'm going to be intellectually honest about this and say I'm a free speech purist, then I have to allow the speech that I don't like too. I don't have to listen to it, but I can't ban it. because to ban it, then I just become as bad as the people I've just been complaining about for the last decade, you know? So I have to allow for that speech. The left wants the right silence. They just want them off altogether. So we're in an unusual situation. I've got a quote from Tom Fitton from Judicial Watch here. He said, "These records show a disturbing and massive campaign by the Biden administration to propagandize and politicize the controversial COVID vaccine. It seems as if the entire entertainment industry was an agent for the government." He's talking about how in these leaked, you know, in these memos that they found, they were trying to get Tom Brady and Joe Rogan to start pushing the vaccine. I got news for you. Those guys ain't doing it. They're not vaccinated. They're not playing that game. Look, it's disgusting. When they came out with that term, the speed of science, I wanted to throw something at something. You know, it just makes you really insane. Because we've been paying attention to this. We've been actually following the science. We've been looking into this. And we saw how corrupt everything was. We saw the massive influence of the media, the co-conspirators in this entire fraud. And we've been screaming about it for a while. And to have these establishment assholes come out and talk about, well, you know, mistakes were made and we were just moving fast and breaking things, you know, as they say in Silicon Valley. That's known to be a good trait. Like, we're going to try a bunch of things. We might make mistakes, but we'll, you know, if we make a mistake, we'll end that project. We'll pivot to something else and we'll see what we find, you know. That's thought to be a good kind of it's an unusual way of doing business, but early stage companies, you know, move fast and break things. So the government tried to use that strategy of, well, we were moving fast and breaking things. You know, we were just moving at the speed of science. Well, the speed of science depends on how much money you have to buy the outcome you desire and how much control you have over the media's ability to report on it. If you liked this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. The website is theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. You can find me on Twitter @macroaggressions. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you soon.